Welcome to the One Nation Road Camp Tevye podcast. You'll hear stories and anecdotes from special guests and hear how camp life has changed over the years. Okay, everybody, time for lineup.
Welcome to episode 4 of the One Nation Road Camp Tevye podcast. I'm Rob Goodwin. This is the Color War and Game Day episode. My guest's first year at Tevye was 1978. She was the captain of Galil in 1982. And she was on the athletic staff starting in 1984. It is my pleasure to welcome Linda Schnall-Hill. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Rob.
Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
How are you?
Great.
So I've been looking forward to this episode with you. And just want to start at the beginning with your first year was 1978.
Yes.
LBES was brand spanking new. It had been dedicated in July of 1977. What do you remember, like, from your first couple of years? It was a very long time ago, and I know sometimes memories come and go, but I'm curious what you remember.
Well, it's funny. I didn't realize that LBES was new until I had been there for a long time, and people started talking about the anniversary of LBES. So that's kind of funny. My greatest memories are all around the people. I was in bunk 15. I knew a few kids who happened to go to my elementary school, and that's why I said, I want to go there. My memories are the counselors. My memories are definitely game days, and probably less specific than you, than your memories. But I have just the feel and the vibe and the spirit and Shabbat, and a lot of my Jewish identity kind of came from Tevye and that whole experience. And then I sent my kids. So
right.
That wasn't my early days, but it's become just such a huge part of me.
Yeah, and I remember my early days, especially my counselors.
Yes.
Because, they were a big influence on me positively. And
absolutely.
And also, a lot of the kids that we were in the same bunk for many years.
Yeah.
And, living through that was the best.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And some of my best friends are still Tevye friends.
Sure,
it's amazing.
Now, we're going to get into Color War in a second. Hopefully you weren't on negative in 1979. That was the last place finish.
That was my first 80. No, I wasn't there in 89. My first
79.
Color War.
79.
My first Color War was 1980, right?
Okay.
When I was an older soph. I have to say, my recollections, although I might remember the breaks if you jolt me a little, are not specific.
Sure, sure. That's fine. And then let's jump to 1982. You were in Birria, right?
I was. I remember that very well.
And your Birria king was?
Jeff Appel.
And you were on the Israel trip first month. They didn't call it Dor LaDor at that point, right?
Correct.
So you come back, and Jeff Appel was head of athletics.
Yep.
So
our bunkhead had decided it would be him for those of us that weren't going to be there. So we had decided in Knesset or over the winter or however we decided that it would be him. So it was not a surprise, and we were all very connected to him, and that was awesome.
See, I was wondering if that was if you found out when you were in Israel.
I don't remember contact with the camp. I remember we wrote letters to the camp, but I don't remember hearing gossip from the camp.
Right, right. So I can remember vaguely Jeff Appel saying, I got this great idea about competition or color war.
Yeah.
Remember, what the idea was?
No.
We're going to end it with Songfest. But we went, what? He goes, yeah, it's going to be great. So if you look at the calendar that year, and I don't know what days this is, but you had Trivia Bowl. The next day was Songfest rehearsal. The day after was the race to the fire, I'll call it that, right? Can't
yes.
say the Apache Relay. And then
Which
the
they're
last...
not allowed to call it anymore, right?
No, right. I don't know if other camps still do, I'm not sure. But after the race to the fire, the next day was Songfest. which I don't know if you remember like any of that. It was just really, when you brought it up, we were like, we really weren't sure about it.
I think it heightened our dedication to the quality of the songs. I think we were aware of it. And I think not having, you know, been a captain in other years or really being honestly too tuned into Color War, I admit, I think it seemed normal and it seemed fine. And I love The Race to the Fire. Yeah. But and I remember that really well, too. I mean, that was equally, it felt equally as important to win the Apache Relay, mm-hmm. which we did not. But but yeah.
So that year, Color War was two teams.
Correct.
It was Negev and Galil?
Yes.
Okay. And you got stories about that a little bit.
I was on Galil, and Kim Adelman Shabel was the female captain of Negev. And what I really remember was we were all best friends, mm-hmm. you know, and she and I had our beds pushed together as soon as we got back to camp, and we just did. And it wasn't a big deal that we were opposed. In fact, in those days, the campers nominated however many people for captain.
Sure, sure.
And then voted, you'd leave the room and voted. And so I remember we happened to be in Elbes as we were split up into teams. And Beth Adelman is the one who said my name. And I remember thinking, what? Like, I'm not a captain. Okay, I'll go over here and like, you know, go through the dance. So that was super special because then Kim was my opponent. And I just remember it didn't matter. It didn't affect our friendship. And the counselors kind of sat us down and were like, you know, you guys, you have to take this seriously and it can't impact friendships. And Kim and I were like, why would it impact a friendship? It's a game. Yeah. So while we took the competition seriously and we took the role seriously, it just played no role in our friendship, nor in my friendship with other kids in the bunk on other teams that I recall, from my perspective.
Right, yeah, I mean, it was always no color war.
No color war in the bunk.
Yeah, but exactly. So being named a captain when there were only two teams was quite something, if I may say.
I guess
because I was a captain when there were four teams, and who would have dropped off if there were only two? I don't know. It's a good question. And then another note, you said that on the last night of camp, there was something about an award.
So I had only been there full summer, a couple of summers. So I wasn't sort of like the kid who anticipated Color War all summer or the last night. I loved every little bit of camp that there was. And was so thrilled to finally make it for 2 months. My parents would very strategically plan vacations over the second month. So I was a first month camper. And I only started as an older SOF. So I was only there, 2 years as a first month camper and then for 3 years as a second.
Okay,
as a full summer, but yeah.
Yeah,
but
I didn't know you were mainly first month, at least the first couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all I was. And most of the bunk I was in, I think we were mostly first month campers. Yeah. So then Kim and I won co-camper of the year. And I just remember the camp kind of giving a lot of feedback about how strange that was because there were no boys named. And Kim and I once again were like, okay. Just like it seemed normal to us. That was what it was.
Well, I said this before the episode with Matt Brand, that I think it's even more strange that only boys were eligible years back.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, girls played sports. Girls were
good campers.
As ready to be, you know, the camper of the year as anybody else.
But I don't think I even knew that. Until this moment, or until you talked to Matt about it. Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, there was the Camper of the Year, and then there was the Gallo Sportsmanship Award, you know. So, you know, I think about that, where, why not?
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But women's lib, I guess.
Yeah, I guess, whatever.
Civil rights, I don't know.
It's surprising. It never came up with those who were nominating. I guess It never came up. But kudos to you and Kim all those years back then winning that.
I assumed girls had won before we did.
I don't think so.
Literally.
Nope. No.
Wow.
No. I'm pretty sure if those plaques are still in the dining hall and you go look at them, there's no girls' names on them.
Wow.
No.
Okay.
Because I remember it was our counselors discussing who should win these two awards and then having a discussion with the director. At least, you know, my years.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how it worked. So I don't think that any of the Beery counselors were involved in that at all. I know.
That's crazy.
It is. So my memories, I have a couple of stories about Color War. So, you know, when I started, Color War was all summer.
That's what all I summer, had heard rumor for a couple of years. And your first year was?
74.
74.
Yeah, all summer. Yep. I think in 77 is when they made it 3 weeks, maybe. But this is, so two stories about Songfest. So it was late in Color War, and it was the day of Songfest. And this was, we were on Sharon, and we had a softball game that afternoon. And we knew we were 3 points behind, 3 points out of first place. And the game was worth five. So we won the game. And we knew that we just made it so that our team was the last to enter Songfest that night and would be announced as the team in the lead, which was huge at that time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. All those announcements were so anxiety provoking.
Yeah. And so we had big celebration on the field after the game because we knew what happened. And then it was get back to the boys' area to tell somebody about it. Because once you get in the bunk, you can't tell anybody.
Right.
You can't say it, you know. So we did that. So that was pretty cool. Awesome. And then this is a good one. My co-captain was Lisa Kovitz. So it was the day of the track and field day, Maccabee, whatever we called it.
Yeah.
And wasn't feeling that great. So I ran all my events, and I went straight to the infirmary. I had fever, not good. So that, I think it was that afternoon, she comes to visit me in the infirmary.
You didn't get visitors.
No, you don't have visitors. And she said, we're rehearsing for Songfest. I go, oh, that's good. She goes, we're going to have you lead the alma mater. And I said, okay.
Oh, my God.
And then the rehearsals didn't go well because I'm not a music type person.
I'm an athlete.
So at Songfest, it's the other team, whatever, is doing their alma mater. And I looked at her and I'm in the back with her and I said, I can't do this.
Oh.
I can't do this. And she convinced me to do it with just a few words. She said, don't be a wimp.
Oh, that hurts. The power of those three words.
And I did it. Yeah.
That's hysterical.
Yeah. I definitely did not want to. I didn't want to lead that song. I didn't want to lead that song. So we talk about the Color War breaks. You know, I traded messages with Max Weiner. And one comment he said, the breaks haven't been that great because there's really no budget lately. I go, we never had a budget. We just had ideas, you know. So do you remember 1984, our brilliant idea was let's convince everyone at Flag Loring that the dining hall's on fire.
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh.
So
was that your idea?
I can't take credit for that.
That is great.
I have no idea. So so we discussed it with those in the administration who shall remain nameless. Get out your colanos and look. And so I went to the Brookline, New Hampshire Fire Department, and I talked to the chief.
Yep.
And I said, we want to ride the fire truck into camp. And I know this was done in a later year. And I'm willing to make a donation to the Brookline, New Hampshire Fire Department. We'd really be very appreciative. He said, we can't do it because of liability. And I said, you know, we're only going to be driving in camp. We're not going to be driving on the street. You're not going to be hanging off the fire engine in the streets of Brookline.
It's not a touch a truck. It's yeah. just a, yeah.
So, he wouldn't do it. So, that was done, and that probably should have been the end of that idea. But no, we carried it forward. You know, so so the other part was, how do we convince everyone that the dining hall is on fire? So we got involved with a group that I don't think we should have gotten involved in, but it was the Kitchen Boys, and they had a great idea. They said, dry ice makes smoke. So what we'll do is out one of the second floor windows, you know, we'll have some sound effects that sound like an explosion in the back of the dining hall. And then we'll drop the dry ice and water, and we'll use a fan to blow the smoke out the window.
And this is literally coming back to me as you're talking, because you were a kitchen boy, so you knew the mentality.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, and then the administration would then urgently evacuate everyone to the Bogue Field, right?
Yeah.
Which I don't think it happened with any urgency, because steam from dry ice tends to drop, so it doesn't look like smoke. Not that we were there. You and I, right, we weren't there. But the Brookline Fire Department gave me was a hand crank siren. So with no imagination whatsoever, remember this?
Yes, I'm completely remembering this when I hadn't. Yeah.
We drove up to the Bogue Field in the white van with a siren going. It wasn't decorated at all. It didn't look like a fire engine. And that was the worst.
Oh, that is hysterical.
That was the worst. Yeah. So everyone's just waiting. Hey, blah, woo,
oh,
you
know. Yeah, there's a siren. Okay.
So I assume Color War went okay that year. I don't quite remember.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we made up for it the next year. Remember that?
Yep, I do.
So the idea was that we wanted the camp to discover Color War. We didn't want to like make something happen in a particular place. So we decided we'd fly this large pink helium balloon,
yep.
Right? And
right, under the helium. Pink was neutral, right?
Right.
Yep.
And under the helium balloon, there was a garbage bag
yep.
filled with
ping pong balls or
ping pong
golf
balls.
Balls? Yeah.
Ping pong balls.
Right, with obviously not golf balls.
Right. With everyone's, with everyone's name on it.
Yep.
Right?
The little tags. Yep. Right. And your team assignment.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the, so there were two people in charge of doing all this while everyone was at dinner. They had to drag benches out of the girls' rec hall to section off the Michael Jester Bogue Field. They had to put the ping pong balls in the bag and fly the balloon. And then we thought that when everyone left dinner leisurely, they would find the balloon and realize what it was and start yelling and screaming or whatever. Right. But remember what happened?
I don't. So, I remember this, but I don't remember the moment.
There was a camper. Dinner, dessert was almost over. And some camper looked out the dining hall window and through the trees, through the dell, somehow got a glimpse of a balloon and yelled, "Competition." And everyone stampeded out of the dining hall to run up to the Bogue Field.
The stampede, I remember.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so we have a camper to thank.
Yes, we do. Yeah. Actually, if anyone fesses up to doing that, I'd like to know who it is. Because to this day, we don't know.
That's hysterical.
And then when the rope was pulled, all the ping pong balls came down. And then I think we read out all the names or whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah. Or I think people kind of found them and found each other, and there,
yeah.
it was chaos. I just
right,
remember
right.
absolute chaos.
Right, right.
But that was great. That was a good one.
Now, there's more to the story, though.
Do you know
this part?
I don't know.
I put it on a comment on Facebook at one time. So what really happened was, The two people, I forget who it was, I think it was the head of sailing, and I forget. They got the balloon flying with all the ping pong balls.
Yeah.
And a gust of wind took it, and all the ping pong balls came out. And they had to scurry to put all the ping pong balls back in the bag.
Oh, my God.
And get it up in the air again. And everything happened sooner than it was supposed to.
Because the kid yelled competition. Oh, yeah. My goodness.
So, yeah, that's what happened.
That's hysterical.
Yeah. So,
well, that, not many that people was a know good
that
one.
Part.
That was, well, now they know. Do.
Yeah, exactly.
My favorite, though, was when there was a skirmish. We were all in Elbes, and there was a skirmish, and it was, you know, kind of to that main, you know, the entrance, the front entrance to Elbes near the stage, and we all, and they had started rumors. Townies are coming into camp, and people were really anxious at night. Kids were really anxious. Yep. Staff was really anxious. And it was probably, I don't know if it was an all summer thing, but certainly weeks and weeks of like great anxiety over, you know, over the townies and security. And so some guy comes in and like a bandana and, the wife beater kind of what they call them, those tank tops. Mm-hmm. And some of our male staff, you know, went and tried to stop him from coming in. And I remember the after story was that, you know, the athletic staff knew and they were going to handle it, but all these other guys started like trying to save the day and attack this guy. And finally he yells out competition. And I think he like took off a bandana that had the colors.
Yeah.
And that was the best. I thought that was just no budget, completely creative, and everybody bought it.
Yeah. And the plant of the rumors was key.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Yes.
Brilliant. Yeah. Right. Key.
And as much as we all thought we were so smart as campers when, you know, oh, that's just a rumor. Oh, they're doing this for that reason. No one knew. And if anyone claims they did, they definitely did not. The camp was on edge.
I think 1977, there was a Superbunk cleanup contest, and you had to listen to WBZ radio, and they played it over the PA in both areas. And I think it was Len Berman that announced Color War of 1977.
Oh, that's cool.
When everyone was listening.
That's
yeah.
cool. That's a good one.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. And then I remember, I think it was 81 when a banner was unrolled at Girls Rec Hall during evening activity, something like that.
That does ring a bell.
Yeah.
Was it, and the whole camp had to be in there. So that's when the whole camp could fit in the Girls Rec Hall.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And remember, I mean, before Elbes, that was the only place.
But
which
I,
you didn't know.
I didn't know.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so let's get to game day.
Mm.
So you're Newcomb and volleyball player and you're a coach. Anything stand out?
Oh my gosh. Well, just the spirit. And I loved volleyball. And I remember when I tried out, although I did look in some of the Kalanu's and didn't always see me. And I'm like, I know I played. So maybe they took the picture second month when I wasn't there. I was actually spent a good amount of time in the infirmary that first summer.
Oh, okay.
I just remember being slightly addicted to the grape flavored, not Dramamine, Dimetapp.
Oh.
I and then I would like go and take it because it was like dessert for me. It's like my only addiction, but so far. I remember really enjoying, especially as a, you know, I loved game day, loved being on the bus. Someone would always bring a radio. I remember when we would get to go to Tel Noer and we would, you know, just that's the spirit of it all. You needed to be Tel Noer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You wanted to be Tel Noer. And the difference is that there were five game days at that time. Now I think there's three because Natticook is no more.
Right.
And I guess they don't play Barcrest anymore.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
According to Mad Brand, they don't play Barcrest
anymore.
And we sent all teams, including the girls,
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was intense. And I remember Bauercrest and their chant, you know, B-A-U-E-R-C-R-E-S-T. And I remember as a camper being like, you know, just that just pumped us up even more. Like, you will not dominate us. And as a counselor, really working very hard to control the adrenaline of the team, you know, to like, yes, these are boys. Yes, you're going to play them in a sport, you know, class first, poise first. But also like kick their butts.
Did you ever win?
I feel like, well, volleyball usually played three sets, right? I feel like I really don't remember those kinds of details, but we at least won a set here and there if we didn't win completely. And I wish I could remember. That's just not how my brain works. You're a statistician. So you have the side of the memory that I just don't have.
I'm sure that there was at least one girls team that beat Bauercrest. Yeah. At least one.
Yeah. And when the boys won, like the girls won, it was, you know, huge. But when the boys won, I felt like it was equally as important because this was, you know, this was like a sports camp, or it felt that way from the Tevye perspective.
Yeah, it was a sports camp, and I don't think we won very often.
Yeah,
I think we won once in 77. When I coached the SOF team in 82, we won at home, which was big.
That's huge.
It was a walk-off.
Love it.
And then I think in 79, we went there and lost 1-0. I definitely love going to Talnoa. There was never any problems on the field. There was always good sportsmanship. Although there was one year that there was a chant that they had when they played us at home, and then our counselor started their own chant, which were just letters. You know, they didn't say words.
Okay.
It was kick Tevye something. And then,
got
it was,
you.
You know, so it was a little back and forth there. And then I can remember at Talnoa, I don't know if this was 79, that there was a camp station wagon parked in right field. We said, you got to move the car. And they said, well, the counselor left on his day off and took the keys with him, so we can't. And they had a kid on their team whose sole responsibility was to hit the car because he hit left-handed. And he did.
Wow.
And he did.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But we won anyways. Yeah. We won anyways.
Do you remember playing Yavna? And
all
it
time.
Was all Hebrew? And
yeah.
That was, you know, we usually win, I feel like, but that was so intimidating.
Right.
Just, you know, Yofi, Yofi.
And, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And YJ, they were pretty much on par, I think.
My recollection's the same.
Yeah. And when I was on athletics, getting to know a little bit, the late George Marcus was great.
Yeah.
Always say hello when he came to Tevye. Like, I didn't know him that well, but I knew him well enough, you know, to get it.
Yeah.
You know, and Talnoa, of course, they had the best of everything.
Right.
Right.
Flagship community.
Yeah, well.
Flagship
at
camp.
Least we were convinced they did, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, I met a boy on the Israel trip and we proceeded to date for 2 years. So I was always, you know, making sure, wait, are they going to be traveling to us, or are we going to, like, we needed to make sure we were in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun too. And George became aware of the relationship. And so I knew George too.
Yeah. So how much of this do your daughters know from going so far back and all these, how things were? I know how things are. And it's, you know, now it's what, 7 weeks?
Yeah, it's 3.5 week sessions. My older started in solo limb, which was the equivalent to bunk 13 when we were young, but I think it was like bunk 16 because of all the building. And my younger started in Dahlia because my older was going to be in, they're 5 years apart, so my older was going to be in Birria.
Okay.
Is that right? Her second year. So she started in Dahlia, and then we were hoping she'd go full summer so she could experience my older daughter's last last color war and just all of camp. And so she did. So it was great. So I think they probably know more from when they would describe something like the pavilion. Oh, you know, Friday night services are so loud. You know, Saturday morning services are so loud. Loud? What do you mean? Oh, because you have an, you know, a system. What do you call it? An amplifier? Like you have a system.
Yeah, sure. And you're indoors.
That you're indoors is where you were like trying to speak as loud as we could into that one little mic in the Dell.
Right.
So I think little things like that. I love going back to reunions, but also just when they invite alumni back for alumni Shabbat, and you see the difference, but you see the similarities. You know, they're still singing songs that Steve Siegel taught us or that Bill Reinstein wrote, or like, so it was, and I love that my girls know that and have kept those traditions, and, you know, the tunes are all the same, and just the spirit's the same.
And the thing, awesome. I'm going to call war being 3.5 days.
It's nothing. Right. Nothing. They talk about it as just being this such an intense time. And I'm like, oh, it was, but it was really long.
That's right. Especially when it was a full summer.
Right. I was not there for that, but yes.
Yep. And you know, obviously there are other sports that are played with other camps that I'm sure some of the traditions, you know, are still there. And there are probably newer ones also, you know, because like we said, there's only 3 game days. So yeah. That's pretty cool to have different sports.
Yeah.
That's co-ed.
Yeah.
We had some co-ed sports.
Tennis. What else did we have?
I think
have the whole swim meet. I don't think we had that. Did we have that whole? Oh, maybe we did. Maybe aquatic day.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we had aquatic day.
So what else? What's
at various times it was there was co-ed softball. I don't know how many games they played. Mm-hmm. I think there was a co-ed volleyball team also, and then we had some girls play on the Olim team, the softball team.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Very proud of them.
Absolutely.
That was always really exciting to cheer on the girls on the boys teams.
Right.
But it wasn't co-ed. It was girls playing on the boys' teams.
Right. I mean, legitimately trying out and making the team. Yeah,
awesome.
Absolutely.
Totally awesome. Yeah.
And the number of activities today, I actually have an unofficial list of all the activities that Tevye has today compared to X number of decades ago. And it's mind-boggling.
There's a lot.
I was trying to come up with what do we have when I was a camper that they don't have today, and I came up with step ball. You know,
off the steps.
Yeah. Rafter ball.
Oh, we did not do that in the girls' area. We stuck to like 4-square jacks, very competitive jacks, mm-hmm. on a rainy day.
Yeah, four square became big back then.
Yeah, and we had the tether ball. We had the tether ball, mm-hmm. in the girls' area. I don't know if it was in the boys' area.
Yeah, it was.
Point. Okay.
So I joke with Matt Brandis. So with all the building and everything, I'd probably just get lost without all those signs up. No, I know I wouldn't.
You would not get lost at all. You would just be like, that wasn't my bunk.
Yeah.
That's a newer bunk. Yeah, I mean, my older, when she was in Birria, she was literally in the CIT, what we called the girls' CIT cabin.
Oh.
That was her, so.
So wait, what was that? What was the girl, what was so the girl's CIT cabin is what now?
I don't know what it is now, because what they built a kind of a 2-bunk Birria, so it would be more unified. But before they did that, in 2017, I think that's right, when my older was in Birria, they had Birria, and then I think Birria Bet was where the staff lounge connected to that space, and that was where I was a CIT. And so we called it the old girl CIT cabin, but it was Birria Bet, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, so things like that. But the buildings are still great. This, you know, the dining hall is much bigger.
I think I was there after after, oh, this was a long time ago, after they kind of expanded it.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like mealtime is kind of chaos, but if I were a camper in it, I don't know if I'd notice any difference.
Yeah. More chaotic than running for the sugar cereal in the morning?
There is nothing more chaotic than that.
I know. That's so true.
Right, but they have like a salad bar now. I mean, they've done some really beautiful improvements, I think.
Sounds more like the 21st century.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, times have to change.
Right.
Well, this has been a lot of fun catching up, going over Color War, as we call the competition, and Game Day. And love to know if anyone has any other memories like to share. Thanks, Linda, for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
If you'd like to be a guest or have ideas for future episodes, you can reach me via Facebook Messenger, text me, or email me at info@onemasonroad.com. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcast. You can also listen at www.onemasonroad.com. And don't forget to join the One Mason Road Camp Tevye group on Facebook. Thanks again, Linda Schnall-Hill, for spending time with me tonight. Thanks again for listening, everyone, and keep in touch.